I want to jump right in. You've heard a lot already this morning, a lot about being a part of someone else's story. We want to come back to that at the end here this morning. But just the sense of what is God doing in our lives, and just to hear and see the families and hear of all the different things this month with our Helps Month of ways that we can be engaged. We want to talk about this morning thankfulness in action. So let's jump in. Beth Moore, a strong Bible teacher, talks of her trip to India and an occasion she had to be near a leper colony. She saw those who were suffering, and she desired to minister there, but she could not get herself to go in. She says, "I feared I would dishonor them by becoming physically ill. I almost became ill just passing by. Nothing could have prepared me for the sight or the smell. I had been in one squalid village after another without hindrance, but the smell of diseased flesh was more than I could handle." A pastor, Andy Cook, writing about her quotes there, said, "I think we gained a new appreciation of how bad this disease must have been in the days of Christ and how badly it was viewed. It wasn't just the grotesque damage or the attack to our sight. It wasn't just the loud cries, the attack to our hearing. It was also the smell of the diseased flesh, the overwhelming, even our sense of smell. The emotional pain of a leper, however, must have been even worse than the physical pain, the physical deterioration. He was removed from his family, from his community. There could be no contact whatsoever with his children, his grandchildren, none. Removed from all his social connection and cast out apart." I don't know about you, but I don't know leprosy. I don't understand leprosy. It's not something we experience here. So I want to go back and read again the beginning of this passage. "On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he came to enter a village, he was met by 10 lepers who were off to the side of the village gate, aside, apart from people, calling out to him as he entered." Think of that. Here they are, apart from everyone, but greeting him, waiting for him to come in to there. They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," with this loud voice calling from afar. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." You think of, at that point, what it means for those men to respond to Jesus Christ, to come from the cast-aside place and call out to this master, Jesus, who was coming into their village with a crowd of people probably, and willing to take that step to call out to him in faith and then act in obedience. You see, obedience is a part, an element of faith. There's a trusting in Jesus that has to take place. There was a switch that got flipped for these 10 men to where they had heard about Jesus, most likely. They had heard he healed people. There was an account in Matthew where Jesus actually went up to a leper and touched him and healed him. No one would touch a leper because they didn't understand the disease. They didn't know what was happening. All they saw was the deterioration and the great disease. And so they were cast aside as unclean. No one would touch one except Jesus went up and touched this man and healed him. They knew of Jesus. But somewhere in there, that switch was flipped so that they then put their trust in Jesus and called out to him, "Master, have mercy on us." Which translated means, "Heal us, Lord. We want to be part of our community again. We want to get rid of this disease. Will you do that for us?" In that place, they were not calling out to an object. They were calling out to a person, to Jesus the Master, Jesus Christ. It was a relationship. "Have mercy on us." Here was someone who could possibly give them life back. It was reasonable. They had seen evidence of Jesus healing and heard of evidence of Jesus healing others. There was a truth that was displayed by Jesus Christ, and it was demonstrable. James, he says there, you know, some of you say you have faith and faith alone, but I tell you, I will show you my faith by what? That's what the first service said. Right? By your works, by your deeds. Jesus Christ came to life. He brought his power to these men. James says, I will show you my faith by my works. What did Jesus ask him to do or tell him to do? I'm sure they were hoping for healing. Instead, what does he say? He says, go and show yourselves to the priest, because that's what people had to do if they were going to be clean of their disease and to be welcomed back into the community. The priest had the job of clearing them. But you see, Jesus didn't heal them before he sent them. You know, I don't know about you. I would have been standing there saying, can you heal me before I go to the priest? These 10 off and went to the priest. They left. And I think, wow, that's faith and obedience. That's trust in Jesus Christ, in the power that they knew of him, that the faith in action where they decide, all right, I'm going to the priest. It was on the way that the miracle of healing came to these 10. Can you imagine walking along and all of a sudden they have feeling and they see this cleansing of their skin and this healing taking place of what Jesus had done for them? Can you imagine the joy that would be there of these 10 shouting and looking and saying, look, I'm clean. It was in that place of walking to the priest that they were made clean. One of them, when he saw he was healed, look at verse 15, where it says, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. I think of this man turning his way. You see, he was willing to stop where he was going, and the thankfulness in his heart completely changed the direction of his life. God was the object of his praise. He lifted up his voice loudly to praise God. He sees the healing. What happened to the 9? Jesus asks later. You see, they saw the same thing happen to them. And I'm sure they were grateful and thankful for the healing that had come to their body. And they went on their way. This one man, his focus was different. His focus was on God, the healer, rather than the healing. And so the object of his thankfulness was different. It's easy for us to get so caught and so centered on what's happening to us. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty self-centered when it comes to life and all that's going on around me. We are an individualistic society here in the United States. And all of that happens there. It's easy to be thankful for what happened to me, for what I received, and neglect the focus on God himself that says, you are so great, God. You are the one who healed me. You know, all the time when they were diseased and cast out, whenever somebody would come near, they had to yell with loud voices, unclean, unclean. No one wanted to be near a leper. And they were responsible for making sure no one came near them. But here, his voice raises in praise of God. Totally different. A totally different focus than himself. It was all on God. And it changed the direction of his life. 9 kept going. 1 couldn't. He needed to focus on God and give thanks to God, to fall at the feet of Jesus and to praise his name. I think of that in our own lives, and the joy, the gratitude. Is it for what happened to me, or is it focused on God himself and what God has accomplished in our lives? This thankfulness in action, being part of someone else's story, calls us to live a life of thanksgiving that is different, to display our thanksgiving in our actions and words, to display the great glory of God. It's not about how much thanksgiving we give, it's about the object of our thanks. Is it focused on God? Does it bring his name glory? Does it stop and recognize in life that we're thankful, that God is blessing? Let me ask you a difficult question. How many of you woke up this morning? Apparently only about half of you. I think of the blessings that we have from God that we experience every day. But do we stop? And does it draw our attention not onto the things of our lives and the things that we receive, but on God himself, so that we trust and walk in his ways and bring him praise with who we are? The focus changes. It's choosing to be thankful. Luke 18:11, it talks about a Pharisee who came to pray one day, and he had this wonderful prayer. He says, "Lord, I thank you that I am not like other people, like those sinners over there." Doesn't that sound like a great prayer? Who's that prayer about? It's about himself. It has nothing to do with God. But it sounds good. I'm thanking the Lord. Over on the other side, there was this sinner, this man, who couldn't even lift his head to the Lord. Walked in, distraught, and said, "Lord, I am a sinner, and I am not worthy." And his prayer came to the Lord and focused on God's forgiveness, focused on who God was. Who walked out with that blessing of what God was doing in their lives? One may have felt great about himself. One met God and experienced the blessing of God and the work of God. Choosing that thankful response, to focus on God, to stop and lavish thanks on Jesus. That's what this man did. The impact of recognizing God's work in you and responding to him with praise and thanks. Not just words, but our life actions. Choosing God and thankfulness to him changes the very focus and the very direction of our lives. And that's critical. Because as people of God, to know God, to experience God, to walk with him, means we need to focus on him and allow him to change our direction by being thankful to him, by focusing on him. Verse 17, this man has come back and he's at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus says, "Were not 10 cleansed?" You see, all 10 were cleansed. All 10 had received healing along the way. It says, "Where are the 9? They were healed the same as this man." He says, is it only this one who comes back, this one foreigner who comes back to give praise to God? This Samaritan? You see, all the people around him detested Samaritans. The Jews hated the Samaritans. They were cast out. You think of these 10 lepers. They were all cast out of society, and of those 10, this Samaritan was doubly cast out of society. He was rejected just because he was Samaritan. And who came back? This one man, who even though he was healed, he still experienced this outcast of being a Samaritan. But he came back, and he praised God. The focus of his life was about praising and lifting up the name of Jesus for what he'd done in his life. Where were God's people? What does it mean for us as God's people to walk in thankfulness, to experience God's blessing of genuine faith, faith in obedience, to walk in His ways, and to walk forward with Christ Himself? In the last verse there, it says, "And Jesus, addressing the man, said to him, 'Rise up, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" When Jesus sent the 10 off, He said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." This man came back. And in this place, in front of this crowd of people, Jesus takes the role of priest that He is, which they would understand much more than we do. But this idea that He is the high priest, He says to him, "Rise up, go your way. Your faith has made you well." He declares this man healed, just as the priest would have by looking at him physically. But Jesus looks at his whole life. "Your faith has made you well." I think of walking in thankfulness, acting in a life of thankfulness for who God is, what He is doing in our lives, and moving us to change the focus of our lives and the very direction because we're focused on Jesus Christ. Acting in a life of thankfulness for who God is, what He's doing. It's this glimpse we have of the Great Commission, where He says, as you're going into all the world, make disciples. See, this, he calls this guy to rise up, to go on his way, where he then will share the great joy of his healing with other people. And there's this call on his life to be a witness. I was in a Bible study this week where a man shared some of his life story, and he used this phrase. And I said, "I won't use your story, but can I use this phrase?" The sense of where he said, "You experience the joy all over again. The joy we first experienced as God blessed us, when we recognize and acknowledge Jesus and bring Him the thanksgiving and praise, we experience again that joy when we share it with other people." To experience that joy all over again as we focus on Christ, live our lives of thanksgiving so that it might be shared with those people around us. I love the phrase of that song we sang, to be a part of someone else's story of redemption. You know, Jesus Christ is the one who healed. He is the one who can heal you. That same pastor, Andy Cook, said this: "There is no abuse that has scarred you so badly that Jesus won't touch you. Jesus is willing to lovingly touch you, hold you, and restore you. There is no sin that has made you unlovable. Jesus is willing to call you His friend, His own, to stand beside you. It was His death that paid for your sin on the cross. There is no fear that has disqualified you. No failure has negated His love. The miracle of thanksgiving is the love of Jesus for you. No exceptions, no qualifications, no doubt. Jesus loves you, and He died for you. And His blessings in your life call us to a life that changes our focus on Him, to praise His name, and it will change the very direction of our lives, that we will follow Him, that we will share the joy of that blessing with someone else in our life and bring glory to His name, to be a part of someone else's story of redemption. A life of thanks is thankfulness in action by faith and obedience to Jesus Christ. Rise up and go by faith. Lord, as we come this morning, we are so grateful that You have blessed us, that you have given your life for our lives, that we might know salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your love. Help us to change the focus of our lives, to put it on you and not ourselves, that our lives might bring glory to your name in all that we do and say, that we might stop, recognize your work in us, and lift our loud voices to praise you, that it might change not only our lives, but the lives of those around us, for your glory. Amen.